Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa podcast. We got Jason, Aaron, and myself, Rome, full starting lineup tonight. It is Thursday night. We had a full game or a full slate of games with some Boston College earlier tonight, as well as two baseball playoff games. And of course, Thursday night, which I got to be honest, I think I caught like 2 minutes of it. I saw the score the end of the second half, and then went back to watching the rest of the Dodgers game. It was just too good to watch. And I was kind of celebrating with a little Randy Newman and everything else from what you guys caught up. But Yankees, Guardians, we'll start from there. That was a game that was an instant classic. Guardians ended up winning 7-5, but they were up really comfortably 3-1. Until Judge came up with a guy on base and homered, his second homer in the postseason. Looks like he's starting to heat up. And then Stan followed up right after that to make it 4-3, kind of took the sails out of the stadium. It was pretty wild. And then to make everything even crazier, they got another run in the ninth, and you think it's all over, 5-3. And then bottom of the ninth, Guardians just come clutch, man. They had guys on third and second, I believe. And then it was like a double play, one out left to move on to the next game. And then, I'm trying to remember what exactly happened, but Noel homered with the guy on base. I can't remember. It was Thomas, I believe, got a clutch hit, a double, I believe, on the left side of the field. And then, so we're all tied up 5-5. And then in the 10th inning, bottom of the 10th, Fry homering it left center, and that place erupted. It was finally, we got like a game that was really competitive and you know, for baseball. So it was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, the game tying home run, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really catch as much of the game, but the game tying home run is what caught my attention. That's where I got to start to get the notifications and everything. Just how, just the epic from just how far that ball was going and the effortless swing. And it was just everything about the moment was perfect for what you want in an October baseball game. And, you know, this is the atmosphere of October baseball that you always want, the moment you can't forget. And I think that was, you know, just took all the sails, I think, out of the Yankees at that point, where really turns the series upside down for a big moment like that. And I think you knew once they tied the game for the Guardians that they were going to, and at some point, we're going to win this game, because it was just too much, and the momentum was there, and that place in Cleveland was rocking.
Yeah, Rome, like you said, Guardians up 3-1. Judge comes up, gets a 2-run shot, kind of getting the momentum back for the Yankees there. His second home run of the series, back to back. It looks like he's warming up, and then Stanton comes right behind him and homers out of the ballpark to take the 4-3 lead against Class A, one of the best relievers in the game, had an earned run average under one. Kind of struggled this postseason. And then, you know, two outs, nobody on. You get the double off the wall there by Thomas. And then Noel Weaver hangs a changeup, gets hit over the park, ties the game up. That's the second homer Weaver's given up on a changeup. So I think you're going to see him stay away from that pitch going forward. Like Jason said, once the momentum was there for the Indians, or Guardians, excuse me, you knew they were going to come back and just win that game.
Yeah, it was one of the most exciting games so far in this postseason. It was really great. It was tight. You know, I figured it would be really, really nice if the Guardians won today. So 3-1, kind of checked out for a little bit, came back right when Judge was hitting that home run. It was epic. So now it's a series. I don't know how much of a series, but at least Guardians didn't fold. The other game, Dodgers and Mets. Man, that was a lot of fun as well. Mets. Well, I guess at the top of the first, Sohail Ohtani homered right center. That was a blast, kind of caught everything by surprise. And then the Mets answered back at the bottom of the first. And it was like the first game that was like back and forth. Third and fourth inning saw some scores from the Dodgers, as well as a response from the Mets. And then I wouldn't say it was out of reach yet. You know, it was, what was it? I believe a 5-2. And then the sixth inning came around, and then Betts homered, Ohtani scored, and then the nail in the coffin was in the eighth inning, which was phenomenal. I loved it. I got to tell you, I, I loved every minute of it. Just seeing that stadium just quiet down. It was really great.
We're so happy, man. I don't know what you want us to say, Rome. You're just so excited, right? I was so excited, man.
This
is like, I want to honestly say this is the first time I've seen Rome smile on the program.
It's been the first time I've seen him smile. I typically don't smile for Dodger games, not even when they win. But, you know, this, I don't know, this feels good. I don't know. This team looks different. I'm digging it. I'm not going to jinx it. I'll knock on all the wood around me. It was fun to watch. 3-1.
The privilege of a Dodger fan who makes the playoffs, wins the NL West every year, guaranteed playoff team. But you know, this team is different. You know, the scrappy underdogs of a $300 million payroll or whatever you guys got going on over there.
Yeah. You know, it's 350, but you know, who's counting? And plus, they've had a lot of injuries. They've had to scrap the initial game plan, so you know they've been resilient. You know, it's easy to just kind of fold over and just pay those checks without making adjustments. But the Dodgers, just like the Mets, you know, they made adjustments along the way. I believe they're the two highest payrolls, right, in the postseason.
Yes, I think we had three of the top five or three of the top four or something that are in the championship series.
I think it was Mets, Dodgers, Yankees. I think Guardians are like number 10 or something like that.
Guardians don't spend a lot of money.
Yeah. Pretty wild. It's a lot of fun. I don't know when game five is for
tomorrow,
the Dodgers.
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
So it's in New York?
Yeah.
They do 2-3-2. I didn't even bother checking. Oh, man, tomorrow. Night game?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. I got to figure out my schedule tomorrow. I'll be in L.A.
Actually, it's an afternoon game, 2:00 start.
2:00. Pick up my daughter. We're going to have to hit a bar up and watch the game.
2:00 on a Friday? The schedule by baseball has been absolutely terrible. I got to be honest.
Not good.
They got 2:08 first pitch, Dodgers, Mets, and then 5:08 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Yankees, Guardians first pitch.
So Yankees and Guardians are afterwards.
Well, the Guardians' first pitch today was, what, at 2:00 our time? So, yeah, they just kind of swapped that out. Interestingly, though, that, you know, Dodgers could be going to the World Series at about, you know, 4:30, 5:00 our time, and it'd be forgotten by the time the night games roll around here.
Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for baseball. So, we'll just move on to, I guess, I did catch a little hockey, but nothing really relevant. Congrats to the Penguins. Who was it? Crosby for getting 1,600 points. And the other homie for getting his 500th goal, I believe. Jason, do you have that guy's name? I don't have it in front of me. I forgot his name already.
Are you talking about Alexander Ovechkin?
No.
Okay. I did not see that, no.
That's okay. We'll cut that out. We'll cut that out.
I think we should just cut out the whole hockey segment tonight.
I saw the Blackhawks beat the terrible San Jose Sharks, and the Blackhawks are 2-2. That's the extent of the hockey highlights I saw tonight.
Nice. Yeah, tickets are kind of going expensive down to the Sharks. I want to get some, but kind of hoping it'll be a little bit cheaper.
Just wait a month or two when they're like 12 games below 500. You'll be able to get in there pretty cheap.
That's when I like going to the Giants games, because these people, like Bay Area fans, they are fair weather fans to the max. Like, they will jump off the cliff right away. It's amazing. Golden State has like a 3-game losing streak. Those tickets are going cheap for the next game. I really love it, actually. These guys are not loyal. I don't trust a Bay Area fan at all, unless you're a 49er fan. Everybody else, they're pretty much trash. Maybe I'll make a clip out of that.
You can. If you want me to correct you on what you were talking about earlier, 500th goal for Sidney Crosby's teammate, Evgeny Malkin. That's who got there.
Malkin, yeah, goal. There you go. So, sweet. Thank you so much, Jason.
You're welcome. So, yeah, I should have known that as the resident hockey person, but I did not see that. I did not see that. I mean, Malkin, Crosby, you know, the 1-2 punch for, you know, all the Stanley Cup championships during the kind of the Crosby era. Malkin was right next to him, so. Kind of crazy. I think he waited the entire summer really to get this 500th goal because he didn't get it last year.
He didn't get it last year, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, really just an iconic duo there in Pittsburgh. So yeah, congrats to them. But still early in the hockey season. Got a lot to go. But some interesting matchups here early in the NHL season.
I'm kind of digging it. Man. All right, let's go to tonight's game. Thursday night football. I missed the majority of it. Denver comes out on top, 33-10 against the Saints. Saints were without, what, their top two wide receivers. One guy, I believe, just had season-ending surgery today or yesterday. Another guy's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Are they still rocking the rookie quarterback? I didn't even check.
Yep, Spencer Rattler was in there. You missed the game. You didn't miss much. The offense for the Saints couldn't do anything. And then, you know, offensively for the Broncos, they were able to run the ball pretty effectively, make some plays. Got 33 points pretty much through defense and running the ball. Cortland Sutton didn't even get a catch in the entire game. So kind of going to the Saints, you know, previous episode, you were talking your top five coaches hot seats. I don't know where we had Dennis Allen in there. I know we mentioned him, had a few minutes on him, but I mean, another loss for them. They came out 2-0. Now they lost five straight. Offenses look pretty terrible with Carr out. Even before that, it was kind of going downhill. Defense has not held up to any of the bargain. Like, are we looking at the Dennis Allen, you know, hot seat, you know, getting hotter and hotter at this point? I don't know. Did you have him ranked number one, Rome, or did we? Doug Peterson was number one, right?
So he was ranked pretty high up there when the season started. I think me and Aaron talked about it at length initially on the first podcast. But then they came out with gangbusters, you know, week one and two, looking like the St. Louis Rams in the 2000s, and now they disappeared. I love the NFL. Teams could look great for one or 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, the true colors, reveals themselves. Pretty embarrassing, but I didn't really catch too much of the game, so I really can't really comment too much on the game calling or anything. What do you think, AT?
Yeah, I mean, I had Dennis Allen number two on the hot seat behind Doug Peterson, and yeah, ugly game, like Jason said. I mean, Broncos ran the ball for over 200 yards against the Saints. You know, Dennis Allen's supposed to be a great defensive coordinator. That's where he came up, took over the job for Sean Payton when he stepped away. Short week to get ran over like that for 200 yards. Your offense was anemic. Rookie quarterback couldn't get anything going. They get a late, you know, touchdown to kind of save face there and get 10 points. Go into like somewhat what people call a mini bye week. Tough week for the Saints. We'll see what's going forward. I don't see Allen getting, you know, fired right now. But, you know, like you said, coming out looking like the greatest show on turf, the Rams from the early 2000s, averaging 48 points. What did they score? Jason, I think, mentioned their first 15 possessions of the year they scored points on. And yeah. Now it's almost like now they're like leading the league in punts since then. Denver actually came in leading the league in punts, averaging over 6 punts a game. And I don't even know if Denver punted the ball once or twice in this ball game. Peyton, Broncos, big win for them after the loss against the Chargers on Sunday, short week. It's always good to go on the road and win. But, yeah, the Saints wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty.
So I know overall defense, Saints were, like, in the top third to begin the season, and now I'm just trying to pull up my stuff. Looks like they're dead last now, averaging almost 400 yards, and they allowed 15 touchdowns, 400 yards a game.
They gave up 594 yards against Tampa Bay just four nights ago. So
that's probably jacking up a little bit. But bottom five, you have Saints, Jags, Colts, Panthers, and Rams. Tied with the Cardinals. All terrible defenses. That's crazy. Any other feedback on the game?
No.
We're good to go.
We're on to the rest of the week.
Sweet. Let's get to it then. Today is Thursday, so it is NFL lines and Aaron's college football games to watch, which he gave. We have a surprise for you guys. It's not what you think. So let's get started then with NFL lines. Is this the last New England London game? Is this the last London game for the
last
year?
London game? Yeah,
in
last
the
London
Munich,
game,
right?
Yeah, they got one in Munich, so that'll be the last international series game later on. I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Love it. So we'll start off with that. Patriots at quote unquote Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags favored by 5.5. Is that right?
I see it 6 on ESPN bet, but it was started, I think, opened at 4.5 for the Jags and now up to -6. So a lot of pressure on Doug Peterson in this game. You know, we talked, you know, the hottest of hot seats right now. The London game, generally flying back from London, is potentially where you get fired at this point. He got to stay out there another week. A win potentially protects his job. I think we talked through, I think the Jags win this game. 6 is a lot of points for a Jags team that hasn't been that impressive. I'd stay away from it with how high it is, but I do think the Jags win the game.
Yeah, 6 points, given what we've seen from the Jags this year, is a lot. Patriots obviously haven't looked good. Drake May had an MRI on his knee. Everything came back clean. I'm going to go with Jason on this one. Jags probably get the win. 6 points is a lot. I would lean towards the Patriots covering that, but I would not be shocked if the Patriots win this game and Jacksonville just says, hey, you know what? We want Doug gone. Let's just throw in the towel, get him out of here. A bad performance in London for 2 weeks in a row would definitely do that.
You think he's out?
With a loss, yes.
With a loss, yeah. Cool. I got to stay away for Jason. And then you got Jags on this one, Aaron. I'll just check in some other stuff.
I would take the Patriots with the points. I would take them. Jags to win, but I'm not confident in it. If you're looking for an upset this week or if you're taking a dog, I think the Patriots are a live dog for sure.
Nice. Let's go to Cincinnati, -5.5 at Cleveland Browns. A lot of Brown news circulating this week so far. Cincinnati's favored by 5.5. Do you guys have the same thing?
Yeah.
Yep. 5.5 opened at -4.5. Bengals giving away a lot of points, but I think this is a game the Bengals come out kind of on all cylinders and try to really make a statement against the Browns. Browns get rid of Mari Cooper. Can't figure anything out offensively with Deshaun Watson. I'm taking the Bengals -5.5 right now.
Yeah, I agree. Bengals -5.5. Browns just got rid of Amari Cooper. They do get Nick Chubb back, so that may be a spark for the team a little bit. But the Bengals got that win Sunday night against the Giants, a chance to get to 3-4, pit back-to-back wins. Their schedule's a little weak right now before it strengthens up. Important game for Cincinnati. Bengals 5.5, I think, is a play here, too.
Nice. I'm definitely in agreement with you guys on this one. Tennessee Titans at Buffalo Bills. Buffalo's favored by 9. We got the over-under at 40.5.
I like the Bills to win, but again, a lot of points going for the Titans at +9 is what I see it at right now, like you said, and that's just a lot. I'd say Tennessee's got weird stuff happens in Tennessee games that make them way tighter than they have to be. I think the Bills win, but I'm not confident on them being able to cover the 9. I'd stay away on it personally.
Agree. Titans 9.5. I would take the 9.5. Bills would win. Bills coming off that big win on Monday night. Now they get Amari Cooper. The squares are going to be all over them, given how we've seen from Tennessee. I think that wise guys are going to be on the Titans. The play here would be Tennessee 9.5, but Buffalo to win.
Nice. I'm not really sure what to expect on this one. I know Tennessee is kind of weird, and they had a bye week last ride, right?
No, they're coming off a loss.
That's right. I'm just going to go with Buffalo Bills straightforward. I'm excited to see Cooper on that team, though. That's going to be a lot of fun. Miami Dolphins at the Colts, -3, with the over-under at 43.5.
Interesting game. Anthony Richardson coming back. I believe I saw today he's cleared and will be starting the game. I stay away from this game overall. I think it's probably going to be kind of a jumbled mess of a football game with Tyler Huntley versus Anthony Richardson. Dolphins really got to get one of these games right now to really stay in the hunt and be considered for a playoff team in the AFC. But I don't know. I think the Colts win this game. I think Anthony Richardson is going to be too much, and I don't know what they're going to be able to find on the offense for the Dolphins.
Yeah, with the Colts, I would stick with Joe Flacco. Just sit Richardson down. You don't need to rush him in there and play him right now. He's still raw. He still makes a lot of mistakes. Miami's coming off a bye. Like Jason said, they got to get one of these games. I think Mike McDaniel is going to have something set up to where they're going to be a little more efficient on offense since they've been just so terrible. And Huntley, I think, can do a good job. I'd stay away from this game, but I would probably take the Dolphins getting the 3 points. If anything, I think it's going to be a push. Whoever wins is going to win with a late field goal.
So this is a stay away for you, Aaron, but
yeah, it's
leading Dolphins. I actually am going to go the Colts. I don't think Miami was a good team to begin with, to begin the season. I had them not making the playoffs, and now without Tua, and Huntley's, he's okay, I guess, but I feel like to stick with
pro bowler, man. Put some respect on the man's name.
Yeah, he was the 12th guy up. You know, everyone was entered that year. Yeah, we should pull up those stats when he was a pro bowler, because I think they're pretty crazy when you look at the whole scheme of things. But I got the Colts straight up. 3 points. It might be a field goal game. I don't know, but I'll just do a straight up money line bet on that. Philly, Philadelphia, Eagles, -3 at the New York Giants. 42.5.
Yeah, I have the Eagles. Well, they're opening 3.5. It's down to -3 right now. I think, Rome, you're trying to make the case the Giants aren't as bad as we think they are. But the Eagles really need to make a statement here in the NFC East right now. I'm taking the Eagles -3 on this. I think they come out with something special. Saquon going against the Giants back in MetLife. Probably going to have a big game out of him. I like the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, that's me that said that the Giants, I think, are better than people think. This is an interesting game. I've gone back and forth. I think Barkley is going to want to come out, make a statement. I think the Giants, too. Brian Daboll, Daniel Jones, to get the Malik Nabers back. I've been back and forth on this game. I actually think the Giants are going to upset the Eagles. I'm not confident in it, but I would take the Giants to win. Sirianni, big-headed as he is. Jalen Hurts has been struggling. Goddard is out. Giants will take this one personally. I think they'll pull out some tricks, some trick plays. Giants win this one.
That's a nice take. This one's really tough. I'm not sure which way to go. Eagles have been up and down this season. I'm expecting that Sirianni, you know, whatever you call it, ticking time bomb to blow up any minute. I'm not sure if this is where it's at. Giants played pretty terribly last week, and they've been like up and down every other week. Maybe this is like their up week. I'm going to stay away, but it's definitely going to be on one of the four screens. It has to be. I'm kind of I don't know which way to go. I don't know. I like both teams for different reasons. So Eagles, Jason?
Yeah, Eagles. This will be my second of my five, Rome.
Oh, sweet. Which one was your first one?
Bengals -5.5.
Got it. Let me mark it down quick. I'm marking a little bet sign on everything, so I know. We haven't got anyone from you yet, right, Aaron?
Yeah, this week's a tough week to come up with five games. It is a real tough week with lines this week.
I really wanted to hold on to my last 2 weeks, 8-0-2, but I really am not feeling good about how I wind up this week.
That's hilarious.
I'm not real confident. I'm in a few games maybe, but a lot of these games could go either way.
It's right when you think a team is never going to lose, or you definitely know about them, that's when they surprise you in the NFL. So, can't blame you. Seattle Seahawks. They are going to be at the Atlanta Falcons, -3, with the over-under 51.5, which I'm not really sure about that one.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons, got things kind of rolling here the past couple weeks. I expected a little more against them offensively against a kind of a weaker Panthers team last week, but they still got the win. Aaron, I know, was high on the Seahawks earlier in the year, but I think they're week to week and what you're going to get from them in that offense. I think the Falcons win this one, but I think it's another game that really goes either way. I think I'm leaning towards it more it being in Atlanta, Seattle having to come down to Georgia. But, yeah, I'll take Atlanta on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Jason said, Atlanta's won three in a row. They're 2.5, 3-point favorite, depending on where you get the line. Seattle's looked bad the last three games that they've lost, coming off a mini bye after getting beat bad by the 49ers. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. Seattle, I think, is getting healthier on defense. Offensively, they'll have a good game plan. I don't really buy into Atlanta's defense a lot. They gave up 20-plus points to Carolina, a bad offensive team. This feels like a possibility for an upset here again with Seattle. They could go in there and win. It's a stay-away game. I would take Atlanta money line to win, but this game could go either way.
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting. I know Seattle has a lot of significant injuries on the defensive side. Are they going to be getting anyone back, or are we going to be finding out like Friday, Saturday
I believe they're all back.
They're all back? Our Falcons due for a loss. They've had some pretty tough close wins, especially in the Dome.
They are due for a loss, and Seattle's due for a win, so that's one way to look at it.
You have the Seahawks in the upset? Or you don't know? Lean?
I would take the 3 points because, again, this just feels like another game that could be like a field goal or one possession. Whoever has the last possession wins the game. I would take. I'm real confident on the over. I do like the over. Was it 51.5?
That's your bet, dude.
We're going to get some points on this game.
Yeah, I think what the Falcons have been able to do last week specifically, you know, with the Tampa Bay game, I think was, you know, a little bit more of the Kirk Cousins show. I think even at the Saints a little bit, but last week the running game between Bijan and Algier, they really kept the ball on the ground. Scored 38 points. It was a lot. I'm not going to say anything there. I just think we didn't see a ton from Cousins in the passing game, probably as much as we had really thought in this offense. So I think week to week, they're able to really adjust between, do we do this two-headed monster in the backfield and really get Algier to ground and pound, have, you know, Bijan do, run inside and outside, but then, hey, we can beat you in the passing game as well to Drake London, or if they give my man Kyle Pitts the ball here every once in a while. I think week to week, the Falcons offense can play a little bit of a chameleon and kind of where they want to go.
Yeah, I think this is a good week for the Falcons passing game. We looked at what Seattle's done. Purdy had a good game throwing the ball. Daniel Jones looked great against Seattle 2 weeks ago with no neighbors. George Kittle had 2 touchdowns on that Thursday night, so that should spell good news for Kyle Pitts if Atlanta wants to put him in their playbook this week. Cousins should have a good game. It should be a shootout. Feels 34-31, 35-34 type game. A lot of points. I think a lot of points in the Dome. Both teams will play fast on offense.
Interesting. I know Seattle, they've been averaging like around like 21 to 24, somewhere around that range. Falcons, I kind of want to pick the under on this one. I might go with the under.
I thought you were going over.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under on this one. And, maybe we'll come back to that in a little bit. Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Is this game of the week? Vikings, slight favorites, 1.5. Over under 50.5. Very similar to the previous game. This might be game of the week, actually.
Could be. I mean, you got Chiefs and 49ers on Sunday night in a Super Bowl kind of rematch. I think Ravens-Buccaneers on Monday night is a pretty good game. But, I mean, definitely in the early window, this is definitely the game of the week. Aaron and I have been touting the NFC North since the preseason at this point, best division in football. But now we're going to start getting into the interdivision games here and really who separates themselves. Beginning of the year, Aaron and I we're both in agreement that the Vikings are going to be, you know, the number four team in this division. They'd be able to come out undefeated so far, but this is the week they lose. I think the Lions are going to take back what's theirs so far, be the preseason, you know, prediction to win this division. Give me the Lions. They're getting points plus 1.5 in Minnesota. I think this is Minnesota's first loss in the year. I think this starts kind of the recession back to the mean for the Vikings that I think we thought at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting. You give him Flores 2 weeks to prepare for Detroit. We know Detroit has a lot of weapons. Just lost Aiden Hutchinson. Minnesota traded for Akers again, bringing him in. It seems like they trade every year midseason for that guy. They got weapons on offense. Detroit's, you know, Detroit's going to be the sexy pick. I'm going to go the opposite. Minnesota gets a 6-0. Not confident in it, but I would take the Vikings to get to 6-0.
Wow. I like it.
I like the Lions, and I think they're just going to go on a tear based on that ass whooping that they gave Dallas last week. Got the Lions definitely cover. I don't agree with Jason. I don't think they're going to regress into like some 500 team and be at the bottom of the division. I think they're for real. Their defense is good. Their offense is good. Great line. Great coaching. I think their coaching is definitely underrated. And if I was to compare other coaches in the division, I might have to put coaching on the Chicago Bears last in the division and a tight 1-2 punch with the Lions and the Packers just based on head coaching. But
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I think you look offensively with Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. I think probably one of the better defensive or offensive minds out there. You know, same thing with Green Bay. They got a great offensive coach. Detroit, I think, got probably the best offensive coordinator in the division. I think the Bears are middle of the road. I think from a defensive standpoint, that is where the Bears stand out. You know, Minnesota, they win this game, like Aaron says. They get the cush schedule coming up that the Bears got at the beginning of the year. So I think on the flip side of my argument is that the Vikings had their harder opponents up front with beating the Niners, beating the Texans, the early win versus the Packers. But now after this Detroit game, they got a 1-4 Rams team. They got the Colts. They got the Jags. They got the Titans. So they got a month of AFC South bottom dwellers, and then they get into Chicago and Arizona and Atlanta again. So, I mean, this is a big game for the Vikings because, I mean, they win this game. Now they got a bunch of other games on the road could be winnable, but I still think the Lions win.
No, of course, yeah. I didn't know, like, the order, like, the best defenses in the conference because now thinking about it, you know, it's pretty solid. Who do you think has the best defense right now out of the four? Without looking it up, guys.
Stats wise?
Yeah, like as far as like yards average allowed.
I don't know about yards. I know point differential, the four NFC North teams are the four best point differential in the league.
Are they? I thought two of them were up there. That can't remember anymore.
I mean, Minnesota and Detroit have I think two of the least points against. But I mean, it's just total point differential. All four NST or North teams are towards the top.
Nice. Well, in a surprise, Bears have the better of the four averages of all the teams, and then Lions and Vikings are grouped together.
Yeah, Bears. I don't even think the Bears have given up 20 or more points in a game this season. Minnesota obviously beat Green Bay 30-28, so they've had some points scored against them, but. As you mentioned, Rome, their schedule's been a little, as Jason just said, their schedule's been tougher.
Yeah.
But don't discount, the Bears' defense is legit and real.
Most definitely. Next game, which one's the next game? I got Houston Texans at the Green Bay Packers. Pack favored by 2.5, 47.5 for the over-under.
Yeah, I like the Texans plus 2.5 in this one. This is Aaron's Super Bowl pick, right?
So Super Bowl preview.
Super Bowl preview he had, but I think the Texans go in and you know, this is in Lambeau, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is in Lambeau. I think this is going to be a duel, but I think Stroud's going to come on top on this one.
Yeah, it's in Lambeau. I like everything about the Texans. I wish they had Nico Collins. They did get Joe Mixon back. That run game looks good. Green Bay's defense is kind of feast or famine. You don't know what you're going to get from them. What worries me about Green Bay is their kicking game. Their kicking game is so inconsistent. Could cost them this one. If that's the case, they'll be getting a new kicker.
I thought they just signed someone. They cut their kicker.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. I got Green Bay then.
That's easy.
I'm pretty sure they got Brandon. Did they get Brandon McManus?
After that sexual assault, he's back?
I want to say they signed Brandon McManus.
Give me the pack.
All right, pack. This is going to be a great game. Definitely one of the four. Dude, I don't know. This is a tough week, man. This is a tough week.
A lot of good games on paper. We'll see how they show up, but yeah.
Yeah, because
the morning session is going to have some good games. Lions, Vikings, Packers, Texans, Eagles, Giants. They're all going to be on the four screen for sure.
Because you just can't. These games could go any way. Kind of depends on so many factors.
Seahawks, Falcons. Yeah, man. This can be an action-packed morning.
Yeah. I don't know which way to go. I'm pretty indecisive this week. I'm still reeling in the Dodgers' victory right now. Sunday night, Carolina Panthers at the Commanders.
That is not Sunday night.
Afternoon. Sunday afternoon.
If the Panthers are playing on Sunday night football, we need to flex out.
Flex out? Yeah, that'll be nap time, baby. Commanders favored by 8.5. And I didn't write down the over-under in this one. It's
51.5.
51.5. Another projected high-scoring game.
Yeah, Commanders win this game, but I don't like the +8. Seems like a lot of points. But yeah, Commanders to win, but I'm staying away from that many points right now.
A lot of points. Panthers aren't very good on the road. The Panthers can't stop anybody from scoring. Commanders can score a lot of points. Every week they've been scoring a lot. Pit up 23 even at Baltimore. They just did lose one of their better interior D linemen. I would say the Commanders cover. They should win this game by 10 or more.
Yeah, the cover is kind of interesting, actually. Because they've dominated when they had to dominate. The 51.5, that's fairly interesting. I'm going to go Commanders straight up money line, but might have to look at that again as we list our picks on X later in the week. Las Vegas
straight
Raiders.
Straight up money line. Come on, man.
Hey, straight up money line. You're laying like 400. 450.
It is. It's -400 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, easily. And it's going to go up. It's going to go up to 450 by kickoff because everybody's going to be on Rome's pound that money line.
It's not one of my five picks. So, you know, if people listening want to take that, you know, I think that's a for sure.
You got to throw it in a parlay. You got to throw it in a parlay.
A parlay? We should do some parlays.
Well, if we're putting in picks, it's got to be against the spread, or
yeah,
I'm not doing no parlay.
Yeah.
Or else I'm just taking every big favorites if you're just doing picks here.
It's all against the number, all against the spread.
Well, the dogs have been doing pretty good when the number's over six, so if you go against it, you'll be winning so far this year. Vegas Raiders against the Rams. Rams favored by 6.5, over under 43.5.
Yeah, Rams win this game, but do not like how big this number. I see this number on ESPN Bet up to +7 right now for the Raiders, so which seems like a lot of points. Rams win, but I'm not confident that they could cover the 7 points right now, or even 6.5 with the amount of injuries they have across that team.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp expected maybe to be back. I know he's practicing. Maybe that's why the line is so high. Rams do have the bye week. Raiders haven't looked good. They traded Devontae. Ton of injuries. I don't know if Jacoby Myers is back at wideout. Bowers got banged up last game. 7 is still too high for a 1-4 team to be favored by. I don't care if they're at home or on the road. Raiders should cover this game. Rams win. Every Rams game has been dramatic where they just come behind and win by a late field goal anyways. Probably the same case here.
Nice. Kansas City, the other big game of the week, visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Niners, slight favorites by 1.5. I thought it was different earlier in the week. Over under 46.5.
Yeah, it was like -0.5, I think, opening for the Niners. Now up, I see it on ESPN bet up to -2. Man, I really want to say Niners out of this one, but the coming out of a bye week from the Chiefs' perspective, being able to repair for this Niners team is really what throws it for me. I know Rome is, you know, he's going to be anti-Chiefs all over this too. I'm staying far away from this game. I think it's way too much of a pick'em either way, because I think this should have been a game that the Niners absolutely should win when McCaffrey's still out, and the time that Spagnuolo's got up to prepare for Purdy and the history behind the Chiefs versus the Niners. I just this is a tough call either way.
Yeah, Andy Reid, what is he coming out of buys like 20-3 during the regular season? He's over like 85-90%. I think what helps the 49ers is they had themselves a mini bye week playing that Thursday night the week before against Seattle. I personally love the 49ers this week. Revenge game at home. Chiefs don't have the offensive weapons to really threaten them down the field. This would be one of my picks. Give me the 49ers -1.5.
Nice. I'm agreeing with you, Aaron. I think the Niners have played pretty well when they've had some of these revenge games. It's at home. They have way more weapons than what the Chiefs have. I think the Chiefs finally get exposed a little bit this week. It is Shanahan and company are saying that this is not like a revenge game. They're not really thinking about the Super Bowl, but, you know, that shit's lingering in the back of their head. They're going to lay us back down. I think they cover as well.
I need the super cut of Rome every week saying this is going to be the regression week for the Chiefs.
I think it's 5 weeks in a row at least.
I've yet to say it's the regression week.
I'm pretty sure you took the Saints on Monday Nighter against the Chiefs too.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't say it was a regression week. I just said I hope they get their ass kicked. Fuck the Chiefs. Not biased here, guys. Just, you know, passionate fan.
Yeah, it's a big game for the 49ers, like Jason said. They get KC at home, followed by Dallas in a bye. You know they're going to own Dallas when they see them. So a chance to get two games above 500 into a bye. Perfect spot. 49ers need this win.
Yeah, most definitely. This next game is really interesting.
Well, this is my fifth game. I think this is Jets easily -2 over the Steelers. Steelers switching quarterbacks, 4-2 team with a QB that, while not overly impressive, really hasn't turned up the ball over like he usually does. But we're going to switch it to Russell Wilson now for the Steelers. The Jets get Devontae Adams this week. This is what Aaron Rodgers has wanted. I expect a big game for the Jets. I think an easy win over the Steelers on Sunday night.
Jets cover.
Agree. Give me the Jets. Russell Wilson ain't played in a while. He'll look rusty. Jets need to win. Devontae, Aaron Rodgers be happy. Give me the Jets cover. That's one of my picks, too.
Did they name him the starter already?
Devontae?
No.
Russell?
Wilson?
Russell Wilson? Yeah. I believe so.
I don't think so.
Well, Fields has got...
Yeah, I heard on the Thursday broadcast that, yeah, I guess it hasn't publicly been made, but yeah, Russell Wilson, from what I'm hearing, is going to get the start.
Because they've been still splitting the reps.
I mean, all I can tell you is in the fantasy thing, Fields has gone to 0 projected on many things, so...
Oh, that's crazy.
Unless, you know, Wilson wakes up Sunday afternoon with a sore calf again, he'll be under center.
I think for me...
It's a bad move for the Steelers, for sure.
I think it all depends on who's starting. I have not heard that. And I've been, like, I was on a Steelers Reddit board with, like, some pretty interesting stuff on there. But I know that's where everyone is leaning towards. if Wilson's starting, this is a stay away for me. But if Fields is starting, I like the Steelers for this. And then the Jets can go on their run afterwards. But we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a tough game to watch. Baltimore Ravens, -3.5 against the Bucs. 49.5 over under. What you guys got?
I mean, I've been waiting for the Baker Mayfield kind of fairy tale here in Tampa Bay to, you know, to end. But, I mean, he continues to impress every week. Really gets everyone involved on that offense. You know, absolutely destroyed the Saints in the second half last week. But Baltimore's really going on their run right now. And, you know, with Kansas City being undefeated, the Bills potentially finding their way back, Baltimore needs to keep putting up wins. I like the Ravens. Not sure I like them to cover because I know it's going to be a shootout and it's going to be close. Wouldn't be one of my games, but I'd like the Ravens to win.
Yeah, I like the Ravens here too. They're rolling right now, 1-4 in a row. I like what I see from Tampa Bay coming off 594 yards of offense against the Saints. But as we've seen from the Saints the last 5 weeks and tonight, they're not a very good football team. Ravens have played some good football teams here, beating the Commanders, the Bengals the week before. Tampa just turns the ball over too much for me, and they don't convert a lot in the red zone. Lamar, Derrick Henry, Ravens win here. I would lean towards them covering the 3.5 too.
Interesting. You know, like that comment about Baker Mayfield. Did you call it like a Cinderella story or just like the ride or whatever, Jay?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it was. I mean, this is a guy that basically, you know, two teams gave up on. He got that, you know, half the season stint with the Rams just kind of in recovery, but left over kind of in the 1 year deal. Had a great year last year in Tampa Bay, and I think no one was really expecting where he was at. But he's continued to, you know, put up numbers and especially have an impressive offense with some of the parts that were left over from the Tom Brady era. But when you got Mike Evans, you got Godwin, but, you know, he's been great, but I don't know if it's the team that's going to be, you know, at the beginning of the year, the Falcons were the team to win that division. Tampa Bay came out looking good. Still 4-2. It's right in the neck and neck with Atlanta, but, you know.
Yeah, Tampa's good, like you guys said. But, you know, that stat that always comes up, Lamar Jackson against NFC teams, 22-1.
22-1.
Tampa's defense back end's a little shaky. Should be a good game. This should be a good game. But Baker's definitely been playing well. But, you know, he can be a little loosey-goosey with the ball and turn it over sometimes. And that might be the difference here, turnovers.
Yeah, I don't really recall the three interceptions that he had last week. I know those were kind of interesting, but from what I remember. But I think Baker's been good at every spot, really. It's just the Browns wanted Deshaun. They had that dangling carrot, so they gave up on him, and he was injured. So they said, fuck it, why not? And didn't get a real good opportunity until he went to the Bucs. But I don't think he's decreased as a quarterback at all. He's a lot of fun, and I think like very similar to who was I having a conversation with about Brock Purdy.
Oh, me
Brock
and you.
Purdy reminds me of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we had that.
Was that with you?
Yeah, that was with me.
Man, I had it with a few people. Some guys cussing me at the bar because I said Josh Allen was the best quarterback in the NFL. This guy flipped out.
Is that the same guy that had Justin Fields in the top five?
Or that no. Okay. No, that guy was on Twitter.
Okay.
And even then I'm like, hey, I'm a Steelers fan, but what the fuck are you talking about? No fucking way.
I mean, there's Fields is an athletic freak. I think that's where he's at, but like, there's a lot of things there. But I mean, going back to Baker, like in defense of him, his last year with the Browns was he was playing hurt that entire year, and it just wasn't his best year. Had a lot of picks, didn't have as many touchdown passes as he had in his first 3 years in Cleveland, and that was a team that was, you know, kind of projected they were going all in at that time. You know, got injured, was playing through some stuff, wasn't great. Then they decided to move on. He had the stint in Carolina, but everyone's bad in Carolina was what we come to learn at this part. But I mean, last year was kind of the breakout back to where he was in some of his good early years with Cleveland too. So, I mean, there's been kind of a trend here. Baker's been one of them, you know, Geno Smith, a little bit with Sam Darnold this year, you know, with the Vikings, where some of these first round quarterbacks that didn't get the proper shake because their drafted teams probably had some crappy pieces around them, didn't get the support they get, and able to shine in kind of in new spots. But yeah, I mean, this is probably a playoff team, but it's going to be a fight with them and the Falcons.
Yeah. So I know typically, I'm not sure if it's true this year at the double check, I didn't get a chance to, but Ravens have been kind of shaky on the road. And I'm kind of leaning on the Bucs with the upset here just because the Ravens look so good and they've been on such a good winning streak. I might lean on towards like them slipping up a little bit and the Bucs picking up the win.
Tampa's good. I mean, Tampa should be 5-1. They blew that game 3 weeks ago on Thursday night. The only slip up they had, they didn't come out and perform against Denver. Denver has a good defense, top five in the league.
Got good D.
They whipped up on New Orleans. They whipped up on Philadelphia. Tampa's a good team.
Baltimore's 2-1 on the road. Their only loss was to Kansas City in week one, which arguably they were one toe away from a victory.
Yeah. Oh man, that was. Man, don't remind me. Don't remind me. What was their away record last year?
Well, they went 13-4 overall last year. Baltimore's always pride themselves as being a good road team. That division prides themselves on being good road teams.
Well, at 13-4, it definitely wasn't last year. It's been years past. I guess we have two Monday night games. So the Chargers, -2.5, slight favorites over the Arizona Cardinals.
Baltimore was 7-1 on the road last year.
Well, yeah, I figured it out. Right, he told me they were 13-4, yeah.
Hold on. Don't move on. We're going to go back in this. All right. They were 5-4 in 2022 on the road as a 10-7 team.
And that was probably the year Lamar missed, 9 games?
Yeah. And then when they finished last at an 8-9 in 2021, they were 3-5. So maybe that's what Rome's talking about, 2021.
I'm just not just one season, just overall. But yeah, they killed it last year. I'm still leaning towards the Bucks, I believe. Chargers, Cardinals, doubleheader again for a Monday night. I don't know how I feel about those. 43.5.
I just don't know what you're getting from the Arizona offense. I mean, I think they're living on this as a good offense from that one, you know, first quarter they had with the Rams in week two. But ever since then, you know, they got the win versus the Niners, but it was kind of, it wasn't a fluky game. There was a lot of weird things in that game where they pulled it out there at the end. But I mean, week to week, this isn't a team that is consistent on offense at all. Harbaugh, you got to trust him here where he's figuring out a way to win, playing, you know, running the ball control, Herbert hitting the spots when he needs to. I like the Chargers in this just because I just don't understand week to week what you're getting from the Cardinals.
Yeah, Chargers are just the more consistent team. Like you said, Jason, you don't know what you're going to get from Arizona. They come out with gangbusters one quarter, and then the next three quarters they can't even score any points. I don't know if Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to play. He left the last game with concussion. Chargers got the number one overall defensive team, I believe, yardage-wise going in. It's going to be tough for Arizona to score on them. Hardball, the consistency of that team. Chargers win this game.
Yeah, defensively, this is another team. You know, Aaron, you brought up the Bears. I think the Bears at one point, they've only gave up 21 points, and I think the only time there's 20 was to the Colts. Chargers the same. Their loss to the Steelers is the only time they gave 20 points up. Everything else has been less than 20. So, you know, defensively, they are, you know, it's controlling the clock, and you're not giving much time to the defense, and you're making, or to the offense and the other team, and you're making them earn it.
Yeah, and Denver was scoreless for three quarters last week. They ended up with 16 points, but that was just, you know, prevent, give them yardage, give them points, let the time run off the clock. Held Kansas City to 17 points. This is good defense for sure by the Chargers. They've got that rolling. We know they can run the ball, And, you know, Justin Herbert's making enough plays in the passing game to get victories. Typical Harbaugh, low-scoring game, 19-16, Chargers win.
Yeah, I think Chargers are in the top five or six or so with yards allowed. And then Arizona, I believe they're like in the bottom third with averaging like close to like 380 or something like that, last time I checked. Herbert blew up last week, finally getting, what was it, a 300-yard game. I expect that to kind of continue on that projection. So I agree with you guys, Chargers as well. But wouldn't be surprised if Arizona pulls the upset. That's the kind of team that they are. They like to piss people off randomly when you got a for sure bet. Cool. I think that does it. Let's see how it goes. Man, this Sunday is going to be fucking packed. That's a lot of good fucking games.
A lot of good close games. I'm not feeling great about my five. I'm going to be perfectly honest in this one. Not as comfortable, but should be an exciting Sunday of football.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I only got three of your five picks, so we'll just confirm it afterwards. And then Aaron, I only got one of them written down, so we'll just confirm it afterwards. Cool, guys. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll do Aaron's weekly college games to watch. And we are back from a much-needed break. Now it's week eight. Aaron's college football games of the week. And in a surprise twist or turn, however you want to look at it, there's not 22 games on here. There's not 18. There's not even 12. There is how many, Aaron?
What, nine games?
Nine games. Nine games. And I got to say, your penmanship is looking phenomenal right now.
Thank you.
Top tier.
He took the feedback, man. Took the feedback, and we're going to make it work. But when you only have nine games versus 22, less to write out.
If I was a third grade teacher, I'd give you a gold star, man.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's get it going.
Hopefully the picks this week get the gold star too, you know?
Hopefully.
They've been pretty hot the last 2 weeks, so let's see if we can keep the train rolling.
They have been. Actually, real quick, let me see if I can find that tweet. Or that text. Dude, Am I getting old? I just don't want to even look at this shit. You know what? I'll look for it later. It was like stats on how we did last week, the last 2 weeks.
I got them for you if you want them right here, man.
Share them, babe. Share them.
Let me see what I got here. Let's see. Yeah, so over the last 3 weeks in college football, we are 19-13-3. 19 wins, 13 losses, 3 pushes, hitting over 59%. And in the last 2 weeks in the NFL, we came in hitting just under 75% at 11-4. So we've had a good run here in the NFL and college football over the last 2-3 weeks. Dub Club, Twitter, picks are up there. You can get those specials for $5. $5 gets you every football game, college, and NFL. $10 for both packages, $5 for individual ones on those.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention, just like an angel in the outfield, the Angels don't show for the playoffs, and apparently we don't do that either for baseball playoffs for picks, so don't worry about it. We still got you for football.
We'll give out special baseball picks. We are 1-0 in the playoffs. We are 1-0. We did have the Yankees to win game 4 and close out that series earlier in the divisional series.
It might have not been on Dub Club, but Aaron and I told everyone pretty much 3 of the 4 teams in the league championship series prior to the playoffs. So
it wasn't on Dub Club, but I had the Dodgers to win the series against the Mets and Yankees against the Guardians to win that series.
Yeah. Nice. Let's get to your games. Let's get it on. Oklahoma State +9.5 at BYU, 52.5.
Friday night game, BYU, the surprise undefeated team in the Big 12, looking to keep that train rolling. Oklahoma State has struggled, but 9.5, that's a lot of points, man. I mean, they were favored by only 3 against Arizona. You're telling me Oklahoma State's that much worse than Arizona? Not in my book. The line is high. Oklahoma State, 9.5 is a play Friday night.
Miami, -5 against Louisville at 59.5.
Miami, after 2 weeks in a row, fortunate wins. They get a bye week. I like Miami to roll here, -5 at Louisville. Too many athletes, too many players off the bye week. Miami gets back on track and gets a big win.
And too many close calls and saves from the refs. Alabama, -3 against Tennessee.
Alabama, I mean, they're talking about teams that have been escaping for wins. Their defense has looked terrible. Tennessee has not looked great on offense, but they have a good defense. Tennessee getting 3 points at home. I like Tennessee to win. I'll take the 3 points at home as well.
You're taking Tennessee to win?
Yeah.
Hey, let me write these down, dude. I'm not really writing down your like your little college football upsets.
I will send them text messages. So they'll be on Dub Club and on Twitter and stuff. So
all right.
Most of these games will all be part of the pick.
Tennessee to upset.
I cannot wait for Monday morning Alabama calls into the Paul Feinbaum show if they lose two in a row, because Kalen DeBoer is going to be, man, I'm going to feel sorry for that guy, Aaron, if he loses this game.
It's hard to feel sorry for a guy that's getting, 10 million plus.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to feel sorry for him. And he took the job. He had a cozy job at Washington, man. He didn't have to take this gig.
He would be like the first coach to be successful after a legendary coach. I don't know. Like, has there ever been any other instances of that, or am I tripping?
Jimmy Johnson, maybe in Dallas.
Maybe, yeah. I guess so.
Maybe
that's
one.
Jimmy Johnson took over a bad Cowboys team. I mean, your guy Jimbo in Aaron's Florida State. I mean, he took over for Bowden, won the national title over there in Florida State.
But Florida State had some down years. They had some down years too. But yeah. Jimbo probably should have never left for that oil money there at Texas A&M. But hey, he's doing podcasts now on a $76 million buyout. So no complaints.
He should have never left.
Yeah, Aaron's right though. You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy that's it's pretty much the greatest college football coach of all time with Nick Saban. But I'm in for the pure entertainment value of the callers into the Paul Feinbaum show that happened when Alabama loses.
I can't see that upset, but fuck it, you know? Let's roll. Let's roll Tide. Notre Dame makes a cut this week. 11.5-point favorites against GT, set at 50.
Yeah, this is going to be a good football game. Notre Dame wins. They won't cover. 31-27. I like Jason's Irish to pull out a tough victory. This will be a good game. Georgia Tech's better than people think. Notre Dame shouldn't be favored by 11.5 here, but they'll pull out the victory.
Georgia Tech is a tough out. I agree. That 11.5 is crazy. Kansas State, -3. Against West Virginia at 56.
West Virginia's been a disappointment in the Big 12. Kansas State coming off a big win against Colorado, a team that was banged up. Now that Cam Rising and Utah's basically out of the Big 12 picture, Kansas State needs to keep winning. BYU's undefeated. Iowa State's undefeated. Texas Tech's undefeated in that conference. Big road game for Kansas State. Going to be a tough one. They need this win.
Michigan, -3.5 at Illinois, 44.5.
Illinois was blowing out Purdue 29-7, and all of a sudden that game got in a shootout, and they won in double overtime, I believe, 50-49. Michigan, this goes back to my theory. Are they a 6-win team? A loss here would go a long way towards proving that to be true.
Colorado +3 at Arizona. Is that a 50 or a 58?
58.
Shit, it looks like an E.
All right, go ahead.
Come on, you complimented his handwriting. Don't be criticizing it now halfway through the segment.
Well, I just zoomed in. It's a 5E. It's a fucking apartment number.
That's not even close to an E. Go look at the Tennessee E and go look at that 8, man. Big difference there for sure. Colorado's banged up. Dogs on the road. Arizona's been so inconsistent this year. Big matchup in the Big 12. I like Colorado +3 to get back and maybe get a win. They need it if they're going to become bowl eligible like Jason said they would be.
Arizona's a tough out, man. They're going to get it?
Yeah, I like Colorado, man.
By the way, man, if you were ever like a serial killer and they're trying to like do like a penmanship, I can't remember the name of it, where like they're aligning, like, did this guy write this document? They're trying to match up handwriting. you'd be set free, man. None of your fives are the same. Every five is different on this document. You have a backwards Z, then you have like more of like a upside down S, and then you have like a really rigid five, you know? They kind of vary, and then you have like the one with like a big top hat. I guess that's the Abraham Lincoln five, you know, with the eight next to Arizona. A really clean five on the next game on Texas. But there's even that has two different fives, and you have like your 10th version of a five down below. I'm digging it.
Listen, a single man living his life spontaneous, not doing the same thing for each letter, one at a time, you know?
Yeah.
Just like women, bro. You can't treat them all the same. They got to earn the right to get traded, right? And that's the same with the fives, bro.
We need to do an after hours podcast for sure.
We're recording this at 1 a.m. Eastern time for me right now. How much more after hours do you want this?
I'm sorry, Jason.
It doesn't get any more after hours than it is for Jason.
I just want Aaron to be sipping on some bourbon and just letting that mouth go loose, you know?
Right now, Jason's like next door neighbor's like, who's this fucker every fucking Monday and Thursday doing a podcast at 2 a.m.?
All right, let's move it on then. Georgia plus five against Texas. Don't tell me you're taking Georgia.
I like Texas to win, but I like Georgia plus five.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's going to be a fun game. I don't know why I've always liked Texas.
Always have liked Texas, or this year you've liked Texas?
No, I've rooted for them. You know, I'll root for them. Yeah, it's not just this year. Maybe it's when they beat USC.
Top five college football moment of all time right there.
Yeah. I remember where I was at because a friend of mine was trying to talk me to go to some network marketing meeting at some fucking coffee shop. I was like, dude, there's a game going on. He's like, oh, how you do anything is how you do everything. You want to make money, you got to go get money. It's like, dude, this is a once-in-a-lifetime game. Right? I'm not going fucking anywhere, you know? Fun game. Nebraska, plus 6.5 at Indiana, 51.
Yeah,
Rome's Huskers.
Indiana's been the surprise team in the Big Ten, undefeated. I think they stay undefeated here, but Nebraska covers 6.5. Going to be a tough game.
Yeah, that is going to be pretty tough. Nebraska can't seem to move the ball the second half. So, okay. Anything else?
Those are the games to watch, man. Those are the games to watch this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. I'll get these posted. That's it. We covered everything.
Well, besides that, you know, this weekend, besides football, baseball, mentioned on Monday for me, we got a big Formula One weekend this year. We got the U.S. Grand Prix out in Austin, Texas. Kind of the final stretch. Rome forgot to do his Formula One homework. I see it right now. But we're into the final stretch of the Formula One season. We got a two-man battle for the Drivers' Championship. Got an interesting battle for the Constructors' Championship between McLaren, Red Bull, potentially Ferrari down there, but the Drivers' Championship, all eyes on Max Verstappen versus Lando Norris. Can Lando catch him in these final six races of the year? Max right now nursing a 52-point lead in the Drivers' Championship, but McLaren's had the best car for pretty much half the year at this point, and they're making really a strong push to dethrone the three-time reigning champion, Max Verstappen.
And it's going down in Austin, Texas?
Austin, Texas,
big,
U.S.
Big
Grand
weekend,
Prix.
Big weekend down there in Austin, Texas.
Big
man.
Weekend
Rome,
in
you
Austin.
You should be down there, man. You gotta. Why are you driving down here to fucking Southern Cal, man? Get on that first-class flight from San Francisco International Airport. Get yourself to Austin, man.
I know. Once I figure out my baby girl is solid and she can go a weekend without me and without her mom messing her up all too much, then I'll definitely love going to some of these things.
But yeah, definitely big weekend between the race. You got one of the biggest college football games of the season going on. So some huge stuff going on. But yeah, Formula One, some great tracks right here. We got Austin. You're going to have Mexico. You're going to have down in Brazil. Then you're going to have Vegas. And then the final two races, one in Qatar and one in Abu Dhabi. So it's going to be a very interesting fight. We're at the beginning of the year from the Formula One side. Last year was a pretty boring season. I think Rome and I, you know, talked about it in the pod you were on, Aaron, but Formula One lost a little steam coming off kind of the high last year. Max Verstappen ran away with the championship, won all but three races on the year. It was a pretty boring title fight. Started the year out extremely hot, but hasn't won a race in months. And a ton of other contenders has kind of came in, and now one's emerged with Lando Norris, who could be on the verge of winning his first driver's championship. So a lot of moving and grooving here in Formula One right now, boys.
How much does it cost to go to this game or this race?
I have not checked ticket prices. I'll be honest, the last ticket prices I checked were for the Italian Grand Prix next year. Those were going for €1,000 for a 3-day pass.
Yeah, I can't really remember what euros are going for. It's very similar, €1,066 for Austin this week.
Yeah. For the most part, I mean, Formula One a little pricey. I know there's a lot of complaints. I went to the British Grand Prix earlier this year. There's a lot of complaints there for the locals in England for how much Formula One tickets have kind of gone up. But, I mean, for a 3-day pass, you know, at around $1,000, not bad. You get the practice, qualifying, and the race, depending where you're at. So,
I think it's a fair price.
I think it's fair. I think next year, I haven't set the sights of which race I'm going to, whether I go international, but potentially Austin this race next year, maybe the race I choose. Really good track out there in Circuit of Americas. Out of the three Formula One races, many of the kind of Formula One insiders and stuff say this is the best track of the three that we have. This is a road course versus what you get in Miami and Vegas, which are more of a street circuits.
Give me a heads up next time so I remember about the F1 stuff.
He gave you a heads up on Tuesday, man.
Nah, dude, I need a text like the day morning of, the night before.
Hey, a professional gets told once and they get it done. Didn't you just mention that? Like, you want to make money, you got to be here on time.
I did not say that.
Listen, all right, so Rum, I'll tell you this. We have three consecutive weeks of Formula One. It's been kind of a little mini fall break we've had the last month, but we got, you know, this week we got USGP in Austin. Next weekend's in Mexico. Week after that's in Brazil. So we got three straight weeks of Formula One, three kind of my favorite tracks around the Formula One schedule. So I'll give you the heads up now. Every weekend we're talking Formula One. Give me a quick 5 minutes. We'll talk about it.
I think you did knock it out in 5 minutes. Good job. That was nice. I'll be ready. I'll be moderately ready.
I'll be ready to talk about, you know, Monday's podcast. Give me 5 minutes there. We'll recap it a little bit. Just, you know, the Formula One 5 minutes, you know?
I like it. The Formula Five. Sounds like a baby formula. I don't know. The Formula Five. Five essential nutrients for your baby to get up and get down that racetrack this fucking weekend at Formula One. I don't know.
We'll have to rethink the name of that.
Yeah, Formula Five. Everything can't be a five. Like Aaron's fives. Actually, maybe everything can be a five.
No, I think you go to top eight. Remember, you're going to give us the top eight instead of the five.
I'm only interested in Realm's top five. Anything beyond that, just put me on mute. I'm not interested.
I think you go top five, and then you go outside looking in, and just give us a whole list of outside looking in the top five.
Oh, I could do that. Was it your dad, Aaron, or was it my other friend's father? Every time there's a female announcer on the TV, that he would just fucking mute it.
I don't know if that was my dad or not.
Remedy, you said that. That's what it reminded me of. It might have been Keith's dad. This guy was an old school Boston guy. He's like, I can't listen to this, broad. And then the wife would start yelling, oh, yeah, it was. Daniel, don't be talking like that for the kids. Like, shut the fuck up, all right? It's my Red Sox. And but do a big old fucking argument. It's a pasta ready. It's a fucking pasta ready. There's no saw on the scale. You know, it's fucking great. I loved it. I love going to all my friends' houses and seeing their parents argue in different ways. Good memories. All right. We're done. Catch you guys after the weekend. Have fun. Be safe. And go make some bets, whoever's listening to the podcast so far. Peace.